I'm Linda Van Valkenburg.
And I'm Ron Gore. And you're listening to the Co-Parent Academy podcast. So the one we're about to do, Linda, this Reddit thread that we're about to talk about, has some spicy language in it. And so I'm real tempted to ask you to read the whole thing. But we're not going to do that.
I don't remember the spicy language.
There's some spicy. Well, maybe your standards for spicy are different than mine.
Okay.
You've been holding back on me. Well,
are we talking about a haircut?
We are talking about that one.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so the situation in this one is that there is a 9-year-old girl whose parents are divorced, and she wants to get a short pixie style haircut. And her dad's not having it. So this one, I think, struck a chord with you when you read it. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking about it?
Well, it's just been such a normal thing in my world for many years that I hate to sound sexist here in any way, but typically it's the fathers that want their daughters to have pretty long hair. And they don't want her to look like a boy. And this has been going on for a long time before we have what we have currently, with girls very much wanting to look like a boy. And if they are transitioning, especially. And so, but I've been hearing that from fathers for many years. And they do not want their girl to have short hair. And they do not want, typically whatever mother wants the girl to have as a haircut, they want just the opposite. So it is a very big problem as a PC or as a therapist working with them. The kids will tell me quite often what they want to do with their hair that what are both of their parents are not agreeing with.
Well, in my thought about kids is that they are always without power.
True.
And one of the few things that a child can sometimes have some control over is what their hair looks like.
And I've been telling parents that for many years.
Right. You know,
way before anything very interesting was happening with hair. It was definitely, you know, even if they wanted to color it or whatever. Remember a girl I had that wanted to color her hair blue and purple as a middle school student, and she had absolutely perfect grades. Mm-hmm. I said, I am much more interested in her grades than I am the color of her hair.
So, yeah, blue and purple. Why not? My kid had hair that was red at one point and just different stuff.
Right.
And to me, it's like a renewable resource of encouraging a child to self-express.
Right.
The hair typically is going to grow back. It's not going to take that long.
Right.
You can do all sorts of different things with it. And you know, I think back to when I did have hair and just enjoying having hair. I know it's hard to believe, but I at one time had really nice hair up until probably my senior year of high school.
Wow.
And it started disappearing. I remember in the winter I would walk to school, and it was like maybe 4 blocks, and I would purposefully get my hair as wet as possible before I walked to school to see if it would freeze before I got there. Because, you know, kids aren't the brightest. But in the area of their hair, my hair may have been frozen, but it was the 80s and it was perfectly feathered.
Wow.
It looked beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And so my basic thought
I
is,
I love those feathered hairstyles for boys. Yes.
And so this little girl, why shouldn't she have the haircut that she wants to have? And, you know, dad, I don't think is taking care of it, right? Is dad brushing it out? Is dad doing all the stuff that you have to do, which I'm just assuming are things because I'm a guy and I don't do those things.
Right. And I realize that sometimes to give him the benefit of the doubt, like, you know, she doesn't want just a short hairstyle. She likes maybe one side pretty short or buzzed, which is a thing now too. And it's real frequent that, you know, whatever hairstyle, music, clothing style, you know, that the children, or especially an adolescent, she's not quite there yet, I think she's nine, wants, the parent thinks is ridiculous. And, you know,
right.
Like my parents didn't like the Beatles one little bit and thought their hair was way too long.
Well, they were so subversive.
Yes, exactly. Such lyrics. And so they, you know, never let me buy a Beatles album, you know, when it was the thing right then. But I would say you know, parents frequently look at a hairstyle like that and say, oh, you'll be teased, you'll be made fun of, you'll, you know, your self-esteem will suffer, et cetera, when that's really probably not the case, because they're not nearly the only one like that. That's why they want it.
Right. Exactly. Right. And let's say that they would suffer. Let's say this little girl would get her pixie haircut that she wanted to get exactly the way she wanted it. She went to school and people made fun of her for it. That itself is valuable.
Well, and that itself is the only consequence needed or punishment. As Dad said, you know, Mother says that Dad told her in front of Mother, if she shaved her head halfway or got a haircut like that, that he would shave her whole head as punishment. So, you know, a lot of those kind of decisions as children, it has a built-in logical and natural consequence.
Right. Know? Well, and yeah, so let's dig into that portion. So, 9-year-old wanted to get this haircut. Mom knew that, Dad didn't. I'm not shocked by reading all of this that girl didn't go to Dad
right.
to ask about the haircut.
Right.
So she had
kids
talked to her.
Kids pretty much asked the one they think is more open to.
Right. So she had asked her mom, and she got an ally in her mom to be able to get this haircut. And they talk about it at a visitation exchange. Now, Linda, we have a whole mini course.
Yes.
On visitation exchanges in our co-parent academy, where we talk about what you should and shouldn't do and how they should go. And this is not how they should go. So in this case, at a visitation exchange, they're getting into this argument in front of the child about this haircut. Now, a couple things with it, and then I want you to you know, chip in on it. This should not be a conversation for a visitation exchange.
Right.
I don't think mom is shocked to know that dad's not going to be all about this haircut.
Right.
So this conversation should have happened without the child around.
Right.
Not at a visitation exchange. Right. Definitely not in front of the child. Not at a time where dad wouldn't have a chance to think about it and collect himself if he has some anger management issues. Mm-hmm. So this was set up for failure in terms of the conversation.
The question, why did we go there? You know,
why did
the mother go there in front of the child to bring it up?
Yeah. So a little bit of a tinfoil hat on me at the moment, but I think she knew exactly what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Probably. And what does the little girl think? So one of the things apparently the dad said was that people who get short hair like that, he said, just want to get attention and that they're idiots. And they're going to get negative attention and then go home and cry about it in their safe spaces. So if he really did say those things, he took his daughter, who was being vulnerable,
right,
about how she wanted to look and how she wanted to feel more cool, because why else would you want that haircut? And he told her that she's stupid and her safe space, when really, and as I read that, I just think to myself, that's a guy who has low self-esteem and is so wrapped up in how other people think of him that he's externalizing his fear of people making fun of him probably, and transplanting it onto this version of what's going to happen to his daughter.
Right. Well, and I've had parents even go further and say, I don't want to be seen with that child with that haircut or that,
I've heard that
outfit.
Too. So. I've heard that too, which always takes me aback.
Yes.
Because under what circumstance would you ever be essentially abandoning your child? I mean, that's what that is.
Right.
If you're not cool enough, I don't want to be with you.
Right.
And so from the girl's perspective, she's 9 years old. Her dad says this to her. What's her emotional takeaway?
Right. Well, and what will it do to her the next time there's something that comes up, which once again, she's only nine. Imagine all the issues that will come up as she's an adolescent that she wants to do and is not allowed to do,
right,
or that her father will not even entertain the idea, or she won't ask him.
So, but I mean, so to dig in on that a little bit, what, and I know you don't know this girl, but what do you think she felt? Like, what do you think she thinks when she's in that situation? She's at this transfer. This is going on. What is she thinking?
She's thinking how much she wishes that her mother hadn't brought it up with him, and how much she wishes that it would just kind of quit already. She'd probably like for the ground to open and disappear into the crack, you know. And also it's informing her of future tense, like I said, of what she can and cannot bring up with her father, or she knows what the answer will be. So certain things become taboo to talk to him about.
And sure. So this is a haircut. I'm right. Doing air quotes.
Right.
But it really is, this is me being vulnerable about how I want to be able to view myself and an aspiration
right.
for myself.
Right.
And so whatever that is something that I'm not going to feel as safe doing, because you're not right. a safe person for me to communicate with. Right. And also, she's got to mistrust mom a little bit more, an incremental less, bit less, because mom put her in this situation.
Right. And even if you talk about it beforehand and say, well, let me bring it up with your dad, it's still, I know, because just a few times I've experienced that as a reconciliation therapist, where the child definitely knows that we're making an agenda of things to discuss with the parent. They know that I'll be helping them to initiate the conversation, but they still are not happy with me after father has had a less than appropriate way of dealing with that information.
That's really interesting.
So, yes.
And why? What do they say? How do you know they're upset?
Because I give them the space that's safe to say, well, usually I can tell in their face, so I'll ask about it. But I had one recently that just said, Linda, I'm mad at you that you brought that up. And on my side, I'm thinking that was the least of all the issues that we needed to talk to him about. And so I started with what I thought was the safest and easiest thing.
And this is a prearranged agenda that two had agreed on before the session even started.
Totally. And I reminded her that day when I talked to her first, before we brought her father in, that would be the one that I would start with, because it seemed to be the least of all her issues that she wanted to talk to him about.
So I don't know. I'm playing not even armchair, because my chair currently has no arms. But to me, that sounds like she is so devastated by his reaction
yes.
that she needs to find someone to be yes. mad at.
Yes. And she wanted to, and I was happy to absorb that, but she also wanted, she told me that she was the person in all her family, her extended family that she knew on her mother's side, that of all those people, she was the most wanting to please people, and the most wanting nobody else to be upset by anything. And so she perceived that this person that she does not know very well, her father that's reentering her life, is very displeased with what we brought up.
Wow.
And so will he ever be able to get past that and to love her and want to have her in his life? So,
well, and there's a lot built into that.
Oh, but that's kind of an extreme example, but this father here doesn't know what all he's created there with that child.
I was about to say the exact same thing. It seems like that other one that you mentioned was such a different level of story, but this is the kind of thing that a kid remembers.
Totally.
And he seems to not even be open. He doesn't seem to even have any idea that this will have an effect on her, that it's going to boomerang to him. And if he wants more control, this is a guaranteed way to get less control.
Right.
Because he's not establishing any genuine affection, or he's not establishing any loyalty
right.
from her for his perspective.
Right.
his best bet. Let's say that he's right, and that it is a horrible idea to get this haircut. If he chose to lovingly express that concern, but support right. her and say, "Hey, you know, go for it. I have this concern, but if you want to do that, I'm all about it. Let's have fun with it. I'm sure it'll be great." And then later on, she realizes, "Oh, he was right, but he let me do it, and he's here for me, and he's not making right. fun of me."
Right.
That would have been totally on its head.
Yep. And especially for girls, but it sounds like you with your feathered hairstyle back in the day might, you know, I know guys stand in front of the mirror sometimes too at that stage, and it's a creative expression for women, you know, for girls. And then we do tend to, I mean, think how many hairstyles for women have been modeled after a particular actor or actress, you know, the Rachel, the Hamill, you know, I mean, there have been some iconic hairstyles through the years that every one of us girls, you know, Farrah Fawcett's feathered look, you know,
right.
I
was going after.
Yeah, exactly. No, it did go for girls and guys back then. And it, you know, I mean, everybody wanted to try it, whether we had the hair for it or not, you know? And
yeah.
So it's just really, I know my hairdresser for many years has been like, "Sorry, that's not your hair. No, sorry, your hair won't do
that's
that."
That's a good hairstylist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I've repeatedly brought her pictures of people through the years, and she's like, it's not going to look quite like that.
Yeah. I think starting in my 20s, my hair barber just sort of wheeled me towards pictures of like Telly Savalas, you know, Jule Brenner.
I think we're dating ourselves with all these references.
That's probably. True. I don't know. I don't know who else to do now. But, well, so I feel my heart goes out to right. this little girl. I'm frustrated with mom. Mom should know better than to bring this up in front of her at a transfer. The question of, well, let's get to the other question that she posed in this. Is a haircut for a child a family decision? And there's so much in that. So what do you think? And of course, they're different ages. And what do we mean by family?
Well, as I've always understood it, and you're the legal person here, so you can correct me on this. But as I've understood it, and having been a PC in a few cases through the years, if they have joint custody, that is one of the areas where they do both get a decision-making part in it. Kind of a parents in general. You know, like I've had the same kind of questions come up with whether to pierce a kid's ears or not. Or, you know, they're just some basic kinds of things as they get a little bit older, whether they can get a tattoo before 18 and
right.
that kind of thing. And so it's some things are more permanent than others, of course, but I do see that being a deal. And, you know, we could flip this on the mom and say, how would you be if dad took her to get a drastic haircut and didn't bother to ask you? That
right.
that would probably not be appreciated either.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. I mean, from my perspective, if I were to weigh in on this and give some sort of recommendation, I would be asking myself, what is the potential risk of harm and what's the potential benefit? The potential risk of harm for a child who's otherwise, you know, doing okay is minimal. Now, if this were a child who was having a lot of trouble in school and who was, you know, unusually precarious in terms of their mental health, to where showing up to school with a failed attempt at a cool haircut could right. really be devastating,
right.
then I would say there's an increased risk of harm.
Right.
But if assuming that that's not the case, then the risk of harm is low. And the greater risk of harm comes from having this fight about the haircut as opposed to anything the haircut could have done.
And that comes out in the update here, which I think is kind of fun when you get one of those. You know, she wound up not getting the pixie cut, and for two reasons. And the first one is like, you know, I think would be a normal thing that a kid would probably decide, but it would be different if it was just the child's decision. She said, I think she got nervous about the change, which, you know, that's a good thing. If the child yeah. decides on her own,
right.
it might not have been the best idea.
Right.
But she was also nervous about her dad's reaction. So, you know, she wound up getting a short bob, which is kind of something else those girls will sometimes do is, okay, well, and hairstylists are usually pretty good about that too. How about if we just take it up this much, you know, and see what you think about it?
Well, the bob is the gateway drug to the pixie. So it's just a slippery slope.
Or the shave, yeah.
Slippery slope on the way down. Yeah, but I think, you know, and it's also interesting, if a parent forced a child to get a pixie haircut at that age, I think that could be, in some ways, considered a type of abuse, depending on what the level of impact it would have on the child. Yes. But if the child decided they wanted to get the haircut, arguing about it in front of the child and making statements like the dad did here is, I believe, abusive type of language.
And she says she's the custodial parent, so she may think she has the right to determine those kinds of things. I know a lot of parents, too, see things like hair and clothing and ear piercing and dealing with maturity with girls when they are, you know, in puberty, that all that is mom's territory and should not be, you know, entered by father at all. He doesn't even need to have an opinion about any of it, you know, but I don't know. It's, that has frequently come up as a thing, especially if father is remarried and, or has a girlfriend and that person steps in to the mom role on any of those issues.
Oh my goodness. Talk about a minefield.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And so I've seen it frequently happen. You know, the girlfriend or the stepmom is the one that takes the child for the haircut or whatever. And it's, wow, it's not a good thing.
Well, and like with so many co-parenting issues, it all comes down to a Sun Tzu kind of idea of pick your battle and the battlefield and the time. And this was not the battle, not the right battlefield, not the right time.
Right.
So, well, I hope she looks great in her haircut, and I'm sure that short bob will be wonderful.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to leave questions, comments, or concerns, please email podcast@coparentacademy.com. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.